God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So I recently read a story about two boys, Mark and Tom. When they were about 13 years old, Mark was walking home from school, and he saw a boy walking a little bit ahead of him. It was somebody that he had seen around the neighborhood or maybe seen in school, but he didn't actually know this boy. But this other boy had his arms filled with all kinds of stuff. And then suddenly, he dropped it all in the middle of the sidewalk. There was books, gym clothes, an extra pair of sneakers, papers, folders, all kinds of stuff. Mark wasn't sure what to do, being a 13-year-old boy, because he didn't know this boy, and he wasn't sure whether he, you know, what should he do? He sees this kid dropped all this stuff. But he decides to help him. And together they pick up all the stuff, and after they pick it up, they're walking down the street together now. He learns the other boy's name is Tom. And he kind of gets the idea that Tom's having a little bit of a rough day. So when they get to Mark's house, instead of just saying goodbye to Tom, he invites Tom in to have a snack and maybe hang out for a little while. So Tom accepts. They have a snack, they watch some television, play some video games. Then Tom gathered up his stuff and went home. Now after that, they would see each other around town or in school, and while they didn't become best friends, they would exchange small talk. They were kind of like acquaintances. So it was about 2 weeks before high school graduation, and Tom came to see Mark and asked him if he could talk. And he explained to him that on that first day when the boys met, he had been having a rough time with things. As a matter of fact, things had been going so hard for Tom at that point that he had decided that day he was going to commit suicide. He was carrying all that stuff because he had cleaned out his locker. He didn't want to leave any mess for anyone to deal with after the fact. But when Mark invited him in and when they spent some time together, he started to second guess the decision he had made that morning. And so he postponed. And even though things didn't miraculously get better after that day, he never followed through with that plan to end his life. It was a simple act of kindness, one that maybe to Mark seemed small and unimportant, but it had a major effect in the course of someone's life. Now, for the past couple of weeks, and I always think it's interesting that sermon series often happen in the summer, as if no one realizes that people go on vacation, right? So it makes it sometimes a little difficult. So I'm going to give us a little recap on the story of Ruth. If you've been here the last couple weeks, you'll hear it again. If you haven't been here, we'll get you up to speed on this chapter we read today. So there was a woman named Naomi. She was married to a man named Elimelech, which Annette did a great job pronouncing this morning. They lived in Bethlehem and they had two sons. There was a famine in the land, so they went to Moab, a foreign land, a place where the people of Israel were not necessarily welcome, they didn't get along. But they went there because they were desperate for food. They lived there for a while. But while they were there, Elimelech died. Not only did Elimelech die, but his two sons also died. Now they had married Moabite women while they were there. So now the three women had suddenly become widows, which means they had just moved from wherever they were in the social class way to the bottom of the ladder. They were definitely in a precarious situation. So at some point, Naomi heard that the famine in Bethlehem had ended. So she decided, you know what? I'm not really at home here in Moab. I'm going to go back to Bethlehem and see if I can make my way there. So she tells her two daughters-in-law, you guys go back to your family. You're young enough, maybe you can find another husband, they'll take care of you. Don't come with me to Bethlehem. One of them does just that. But the other one, Ruth, says, no, I'm going to stay with you, Naomi. And she pledges to go with Naomi, to go where she goes, and to follow Naomi's guide. Now they get back to Bethlehem, and there's people there who know Naomi. And they're like, oh, look, it's Naomi, we're so happy to see you. But and she gleans barley to provide food for herself and Naomi. Now, by coincidence, this story is actually kind of comical. We should do it like in a play sometime. It's not as good when you're just hearing it, but she ends up in a field of Boaz, who's a distant relative of Elimelech, just by coincidence. Now, when Naomi hears that she's been gleaning in the field of Boaz, she kind of sees a little opportunity there. And she says to Ruth, listen, this guy is related to us, and I want you to go there tonight, and I want you to offer yourself to him. She's thinking, maybe Boaz will marry Ruth. Take care of Ruth, take care of her. And now we're at the city gate, which is where our little story began today. The city gate was the center of the town. All the business was transacted there. It's where the elders would gather and where contracts could be entered. Now Boaz had seen Ruth's love and her care for Naomi. So he decided that, yes, he was going to marry her. But as we heard in our reading today, there was a whole big complicated thing about land and another relative. That's not really the point we have to worry about. What we want to see from this story is that Boaz was influential in the town, he was a good guy, and he went through all the motions, all the steps that he had to take to make sure that Ruth was cared for, that he could marry her properly, and that Naomi would be cared for also. And they did get married, and they had a son. And as we heard, that son was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David, King David. So a foreign woman, Ruth, who is widow, has now become one of five women in the genealogy of Jesus that we find in Matthew. So just think about that for 1 second. Through all this complicated story, this woman, who was a widow and a foreigner, is now the distant relative ancestor of Jesus. It was through the actions of Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz that happened for Ruth. She became the great-great-grandmother of King David and the ancestor of Jesus. Each of the people in this story acted with chesed. It's a Hebrew word that's used to describe a specific kind of love. Now, it's one of those words that's difficult to really translate. It's not a one-for-one thing. It describes care that is steadfast, care that is loyal, and care that's faithful. It's caring that's also often expressed when one person has to really rely on another person to do something beyond what's normally expected to help them. So it's care that happens in a relationship when people are not equal. And we see it throughout the story. Ruth shows chesed for Naomi when she resolves to stay with her rather than going home to her family. She could have easily left Naomi. It would have been expected, really, in many ways, and certainly accepted. Ruth was a Moabite, and Moabites would not be welcome in Bethlehem. Once in Bethlehem, Ruth would now not only be a widow, but she would be a refugee, an outsider. It would have been much easier for her to just stay in Moab with her family. But she pledges to stay with Naomi, and she follows her there. She stays with Naomi when Naomi is at her most vulnerable, a widow who has no male heirs to take care of her. Now Boaz shows chesed toward Ruth. He sees her devotion and hard work when she's gleaning in the fields. It's hard, dirty work. I did a Bible story on this book once at my other congregation, and there were women in the congregation who had gleaned during World War II in Germany. So they really gave us a good insight, right? The fields have been cut, it's hot, it's dirty work, there would be unsavory characters perhaps lingering around looking to take advantage of the people who are out there gleaning. And Ruth is out there working like a dog to provide her mother-in-law. So Boaz sees that, and one of the days when she's out there gleaning, he offers her protection, he offers her food, something to drink, and gave her an extra share of barley to take home to Naomi. It was certainly more than was required, because as the landowner, Boaz was only obligated to leave a portion of his field for those who would come in need. Boaz also shows Ruth Hesed when he goes to the city gate. He could have just taken advantage of her that night when she came to him on the threshing floor. But he saw what she was and her devotion to Naomi, and he decided to jump through all the hoops of this property redemption and gathering the elders at the gate so that he could do the right thing, so that he could marry Ruth. And they do get married, and they're blessed with a child. So Naomi is also blessed, because she goes from being a widow with no future to a woman who's secure, who has a grandchild, who she can love and care for. All of these acts of Hesed are reflected of the care and love that God has been shown in the world throughout history. The God of Israel, who showed faithfulness, who was steadfast and loyal, keeping his covenant with the people he had chosen for his own. It started with God's promise to Abraham and Sarah, and it just kept going. God acted through Moses, delivering his people from Egypt. God was with his people in exile in Babylon, speaking to them through the prophets. God acts in these stories through Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz to bring new life in the marriage of Ruth and Boaz, leading through the generations to Jesus. Jesus acts out his love, God's love, by giving his life for us and rising again. God doesn't just feel love for us. God acts love for us. Sometimes we may not be able to feel it. Like Naomi, we get bogged down in the stresses and the worries of life, and we may not even notice those acts of care that are done for us. But when we take a moment, we can see the ways that other people's actions and care for us have helped us when we needed it. We also see sometimes the way that our acts have affected other people. We might think it's a really small thing, and later on come to find out that it made a really big difference in that person's day or in that person's life. Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz were just ordinary people like us, struggling to deal with the difficulties of life. Their actions of Hesed changed not only their lives, but the whole future of the world. Now, we may never know where our acts of caring go when we share them in the world, but this story of Ruth, the Moabite, a foreigner and a widow, invites us to continually look for the places where we can act with Hesed towards others, changing the world for the better as God works through us in ways